This is Professor Marcia Cohen of UC Hastings Law to provide a brief analysis of Prop 21 on the November California ballot. Proposition 21 is called the Rental Affordability Act and is about rent control law. Proponents and opponents agree it would have an impact on two critical public policy issues: homelessness and the availability and thus affordability of rental housing. But they disagree on whether that impact would be positive or negative. To understand this measure, it's important to know the legal context. More than a dozen California cities currently have rent control laws, including San Francisco and LA. A California law that passed in 1995, called Costa-Hawkins, put limits on rent control restrictions, including exempting single-family residences and residences built after 1995 or earlier in cities that already had rent control in place. It also prohibited retaining rent caps after a tenant vacates an apartment, so vacant units can be re-leased at market rates. Just last year, however, the legislature passed another law that limits rent increases statewide to 5% plus the rate of inflation for most rental units that are more than 15 years old, while it also included some statewide protections against evictions without cause. There are also now in place some pandemic-related state and federal eviction protections, albeit those are temporary. Prop 21 would reverse some Costa-Hawkins limits and allow localities to apply rent control limitations to a greater range of rental properties, including all properties more than 15 years old before the rent limitations are imposed, and to single-family homes and condos unless their owner is a person rather than a business entity who owns no more than two such dwelling units. It would give localities the right to control residential rental rates while limiting the rent when a unit has been vacated to no more than 15% above the prior rent plus other increases allowed by local law, and that rate must be maintained for 3 years. There are other changes of less magnitude in the proposition. One that is possibly very significant, though, would adopt as statute a principle that has been developed in case law that a landlord's right to a fair rate of return on property shall not be abridged by law. Fair rate of return is not otherwise defined. Significantly, as with a number of other measures on the ballot this year, Prop 21 prohibits any legislative amendments to the law it enacts unless they are passed by a supermajority, in this case, a two-thirds vote of both houses of the legislature. It also prohibits any statute that restricts or eliminates the local right to establish residential rent control, as the Costa-Hawkins law it reverses did, from becoming effective without approval of another ballot measure to that effect. Proponents argue that passage of Prop 21 will prevent evictions and thus the high cost to taxpayers of homelessness, while protecting owners of single-family dwellings who wish to rent them and guaranteeing landlords a fair rate of return, a profit. Opponents, who point out that a similar measure was rejected by the voters in 2018, argue that it will discourage the construction of needed new rental housing units while doing nothing to reduce current rents and undermining the statewide rent control law that passed just last year. The single biggest financial supporter of Prop 21 is a nonprofit called the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, which was also behind the 2018 ballot measure. The biggest financial supporter of the opposition is called Californians for Responsible Housing, which states it is a coalition of groups not unlike those among the proponents, but it is sponsored by the California Apartment Association. While the support-opposed lineup appears predictable, it is interesting that the state's three largest newspapers split in their perspective of the benefits and burdens of this measure. You might find it useful to read all three. The LA Times urges a yes vote, and the San Francisco Chronicle and Sacramento Bee urge a no vote, while all similarly express concern for our state housing crisis. The state legislative analysts' analysis of the fiscal effects of the measure also reflects the uncertainties involved. The most important questions this analysis raises are, One, if rent controls are expanded, will landlords sell their rental properties to those who would live in the units, thus removing rental properties from the market and thereby adding to their shortage? And two, will rental property values overall decline and thus lead to reduced property tax revenues and diminish government's ability to solve our myriad problems? I wish I had answers. I hope this explanation of Prop 21 is nevertheless helpful.